Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The other movie that opens this week that we're going to talk about is the much larger and more likely to make money movie than Problemista.
That may be the case or not.
Well, to make more money than Problemista. We'll discuss total box office here in a second. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Yeah.
Everyone was very excited a couple years ago when Ghostbusters Afterlife came out. Basically positive reviews across the board, except for the people that just have no soul and hated the movie for reasons that I can't comprehend. Jason Reitman is back. He co-wrote this one, but he's not directing this one. Co-writer Gil Keenan is writing this. It is a Reitman and Reitman writing team. Again, Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, Celeste O'Connor's back as Lucky. Logan Kim is back as Podcast. We dump Kumail Nanjiani in here. Patton Oswalt does a flyby cameo. Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Ernie Hudson, Annie Potts, William Atherton. I mean, every person connected to freaking Ghostbusters at this point is on the cast sheet for this. We're in New York, not Oklahoma. Overall, I like this not quite as much as Afterlife.
Yeah, I liked it more.
You liked it more than Afterlife?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let's break that down. I liked Afterlife because I thought it struck a nice balance between fan service in the not Rise of Skywalker way and an original story that builds on what came before. I thought it had a good balance in that. Did you not like Afterlife because you thought that balance was wrong?
I didn't like Afterlife as much as some people because, the ending for one, I think could have been done.
I'll
a little better.
I'll allow that argument.
I just, you know, and obviously I haven't watched it for a couple of years, but for me, it really, if it was supposed to be a film that was transitioning from the old films into the new films, it utterly failed to do that. There was no handoff. There was no, you know, which is why this film comes along and lo and behold, they have to bring everyone back again because they forgot to hand off the movie. In the franchise and develop, you know, whatever was going to come next. And that's, you know, that's fine. I hated Podcast. I thought Podcast was one of the worst written children characters.
In the first movie? Seen. In Afterlife.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Terrible. Because he could be a smart kid. And the problem is McKenna Grace in the exact same film does it right.
Yeah.
She's smart, but she's a kid. And so as smart as she is, she still sees the world as a kid. So as logical as she gets occasionally, you go, oh, but she's a kid. And that's why she doesn't really see the big picture. Whereas Podcast knew everything. He was never a kid. He was a little adult running around doing, he had an answer for everything. And it wasn't, you know, if that was maybe to make the character like it was a defensive thing for him or like, because he really didn't think he knew anything, that might be something. But for me, he was just the most annoying kid in a movie that I've seen in a long time. I do think I don't think it captured what Ghostbusters was.
Okay.
And I think that you could have moved Ghostbusters to the rural area, but you needed to do it after the handoff.
Right.
You needed to do it after they had come back to New York. I mean, there is the city of New York is such an element of the Ghostbuster films.
Yeah.
That not having that character, so to speak, in the film mm-hmm. really bothered me. You know, and I understand narratively why they did some of the stuff they did, but to me, it just felt like it missed the mark on what we loved about Ghostbusters. What we loved about Ghostbusters is guys running around New York City, blowing up landmarks that we all know, but also somehow becoming folk heroes of New York City, and just, you know, the relationship with the city, I thought was, I missed it terribly.
Okay. So fair enough. So in Frozen Empire, then we come back to New York. We're back in the firehouse. My one big narrative complaint about this is that they're back in New York, they're back in the firehouse, and it is explicitly said that they're being supported by Winston Zeddemore.
Yes.
But the firehouse is a falling down piece of shit. That is not being fixed. The Ecto at the end of the first one, he goes, "We're going to get you back to, you know, get you put back together, you know." But it's also a steaming pile of shit that doesn't work half the time in this film. So that's like my one like continuity issue.
Oh, I do agree with that because I think that should have been handled. Again, could have been handled, made easier, a easier transition, a more interesting transition if the original one didn't end with that.
Right.
You know, or the Ghostbusters is never supposed to be something that is easy.
Right.
They're always supposed to be financially challenged. They're always supposed to be, you know, on the verge of self-destruction.
And in this, they still are, except they supposedly have a rich backer.
Correct.
So right there, that's like my one big continuity issue.
And there is sort of a thing in the film that kind of explains where the money is going.
Yeah.
But there's an element of that. See, okay, there's stuff in this film that you could pick apart.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt about it. And I enjoyed it, so I don't want it to sound like I didn't, or that I didn't like Afterlife. I did, to an extent, and I like this film more because I think it did a lot of the things that the last film I needed it to do, and it didn't do it. But, I mean, if you want to be really critical of the narrative, it's kind of the same story that they told in the first one.
Yeah. Except it's still okay. So I would argue that this film is actually more Phoebe centric than Afterlife was.
But when I say the first one, I mean the original Ghostbusters in the sense that the big thing in this film is what if the ghosts get out of the containment unit?
Yeah.
And you have a legacy character that shows up who would more than, you know, who would absolutely love to shut the Ghostbusters down.
Yep.
And whatnot. So, it's not quite on Force Awakens level here.
Right.
But there is, you know, there's not a Keymaster, but, there's a Firemaster.
Right.
There's not there's a lot of stuff here that still, I thought it worked just fine, but if I'm going to be critical of other films about it, I have to acknowledge that this film is guilty of a lot of that stuff. But no, Phoebe is the only reason why I actually really liked Afterlife.
She's so phenomenal.
You know, and everyone who knows me that McKenna Grace is one of my favorite people in the entire world because she is genuine in person. She's incredibly strange, a little kooky.
Right.
And I love that about her. And so I like her in general.
Right.
But I do love what they do with the character in this film, because again, there's this sudden thing of, oh, she's only 15. Should she be doing all these things that she's doing? You know, and that becomes a major issue. And then she's feeling isolated, which as a teenager, that's, you know, it doesn't take much to make you feel isolated and alone and abandoned by your older brother and parents who are off, you know, fighting ghosts. And you're supposed to be, you know, I don't know what they expect her to do, but they expect her just to do anything else other than what she wants to do and what she's good at. You know, the irony there being she's the only one who's really probably qualified to be a Ghostbuster
and wanted to be one in the first place.
Correct.
She's the most Spengler of all the Spenglers.
Yes. And so there's that element to it. And so that to me is interesting.
Yeah.
There's a friendship she develops in the film that I think is interesting. That is a new element that we hadn't really seen before. That to me could be explored further down the line, not necessarily with the same characters, but just sort of this, some of the things that it does. I don't want to reveal too much,
but it does
some things that are a little different.
And
I like that.
I hate trigger warnings, but there's a part in this film that's like actually really dark, considering who's involved and what they're doing. That I was just like,
think of a couple, sure.
But well, at the end in the yellow box. So it's like, cause that's kind of a thing that there's a word for that I don't want to use. So, I mean, that's kind of dark, and for a PG-13. So, but yeah, no, she's great. That relationship is interesting. You kind of know that it's gonna go the way that it goes. But hey, look, if you enjoy what you're seeing and hearing on the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, why not take a second to click subscribe if you're on YouTube, click follow wherever you're listening to us, you know, follow us on Twitter at VS Movie Podcast, same over on Facebook. If you're on Instagram, it's Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. That would be awesome for us. We appreciate you listening. And now let's get back to the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Before the film started, you were saying you were hoping that they didn't just divide the old team and or the, you know, the old guys and the new kids. And
I wanted it to be a team effort.
They mostly did split them. Except in a couple spots.
The one thing I will kind of forgive on that is there was still a sense that they were working together at some point.
Yeah.
But you know, and I think isolating Phoebe, which is what it does a lot of, I think in the nature of the, you know, watching the film, that worked a lot for me. And again, maybe that's why this film works for me, is because, you know, it's about Phoebe, and Phoebe's the one character that I'm really interested in.
Yep.
You know, and everyone else is there. Podcast is not nearly as annoying, but he's also not doing as much.
No,
he's tagging along, and he actually shuts up sometimes.
Yeah,
which is nice, because I think change. At some point, Well, he needs to realize that he's not as smart as the girl he's trying to impress, and it's not going to impress her anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did split up a little bit, and you had kind of the old guys doing their thing and the young guys doing their thing, and then Phoebe off on her own. But it wasn't in the way that I feared, in that there was still crossover, there was still interaction, there was, you know, there was interaction, and yeah, that's, and I was happy for that.
Yep. Yeah, and that was good. So, the big bad in this is, I wish we'd have explored more of how he got captured in the first place. Because I think that's a cool backstory, or that's a cool thing. Okay, so yeah, let's go back for a second. To open all the other films, it opens with a contemporary scene of a haunting, and then the Ghostbusters show up. This one goes back 120 years in New York and gives us a scene that sets up now. So that was like the farthest back that they've gone to introduce the setup for the film and any of the films before now. And that was a really cool scene, which, you know, in an alternate universe, there's an 1898 steampunk Ghostbusters movie out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, you know, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Ghostbusters action going on. But yeah, so this is, you know, it's an interesting way to start. It introduces a character that you don't understand until about three quarters of the way through what that character is. And that's a cool thing.
But my thing is I don't understand why that character, what the role that character was playing in the scene that we, incident at the beginning. Why was that?
And I thought about that too. What I think it was is that, minor spoilers ahead, I'll be as vague as I can for Ryan's, I'll be as specific as I can for Ryan, but as vague as I can for all you people out there listening. The guys that had the orb had acquired it. And I believe that instance, it was regained by that character. And that's why it was contained to that space.
That was just I think
it's never made clear, but that's the only thing that made sense.
Well, and I'm being hypocritical again. I think maybe under a little bit with that scene would have helped as well. We should be clear that when they go back in time, it's not a Ghostbusters film.
No.
Yes, you could do a Ghostbusters film set in the past, but that's not what it's trying to do. It's just showing. It's showing a scene that sets up everything that happens. But I mean, it's still, you know, the history of the ghosts and everything go back thousands of years. And so it's not like, oh, we have this modern day ghost. It's still really similar to what you got in, you know, the other films as far as kind of the, you know, it does make you wonder if there are any really bad new ghosts around. I don't know.
No,
but whatever.
New ghosts are,
you know,
new ghosts are just dead people,
I guess. Okay. We don't do evil quite effectively.
Well, and all the old ghosts are gods or timeless energies.
And so, we don't have gods anymore. So,
right.
Yes.
Okay. So that's why.
And not in the same way anyway. So what you're saying is in the future we have Kardashian
God. Ghosts. Call the Ghostbusters.
Tormenting.
Call the Ghostbusters. All of them.
Yes.
Anyway, if that's the case,
there's the next film.
Right.
But no, God. I just, there's relationships in this film that I like. There's hard lessons to be learned that I like there, you know, and it's not just all by Phoebe.
No, it's this is a family film in that you can take your family and it's about families. There are many families in this film. I actually, some people probably will disagree with this statement. I actually enjoyed Paul Rudd trying to find his place, because this movie is also about trying to find your place. Yeah. Phoebe's trying to find her place. Yeah. Gary Gruberman is trying to find his place in the Spengler Ghostbuster universe. Trevor is now an adult, except when he doesn't want to be. So he's kind of trying to find his place. You know, Ray is trying to figure out what place he wants to be in. Is he done or is he not? You know, there's a lot of searching in this film. So it, but yeah, but I liked, cause I think Paul Rudd as Gary, he had the hardest road to hoe because he's literally doing what a lot of adults do when they enter a relationship with someone else's children. And he's not just trying to fight ghosts. He's trying to figure out, is he dad? Is he Gary? Is he Bud? You know, is he, you know, cause they're not married, you know, that they ever established in this film. So, you know, he's trying to figure out what he is to them. And so, yeah, like I said, I thought he actually handled that well, cause you could see, you know, his conflict was evident.
I absolutely preferred his character in this than I did to the first one.
Yeah.
Without question.
Oh yeah. He was kind of, you know, almost another child in the first one, because he didn't, you know, he would just goofy science. Like he was the Ray of Afterlife. He was Ray Stantz. So, in that he was all about the science and the ideas behind things and just go, you know, see what happens. And in this one, he's a little more controlled. He's excited to do everything, but he's reining all that in the personal side of it, which, like I said, I appreciated in this movie a lot more than I did in the first one. So I liked it. I didn't like it as much as Afterlife. But that's not because it's a bad film. I just think Afterlife was just struck the right tone all the way through for me. This one's got a few disconnects here and there that are not off-putting, but they, you know, interrupt things. They interrupted things for me a little bit, but overall I did enjoy it. Absolutely.
I think, what this film also does is the way Afterlife ended and everything, you still needed the old characters. You still need a lot of the things and I think that need has been greatly reduced.
Yep.
Do I think that none of the original guys are going to be appearing in another film? No, there's probably going to be one in particular that's going to be in all the Ghostbusters films until he dies.
Right.
But I don't think you have to tell, you know, audiences on Bill Murray. You know, Bill Murray's going to be bad. When you know Bill Murray really doesn't care.
Right.
And so he's fine in this film. He's not there a ton, but he's been there more than you might expect.
Yep.
But again, he's doing a lot of the same stuff he did in the first film, but that's okay. Almost literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but, science does not advance far for these guys. No. Same techniques. And, you know, if you're a quack, you're always a quack, I guess.
Hey, is it quackery if it gets results?
Well, I think with isn't he just trying to get with the girls? I mean, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. So I feel like this film ends in a place that I'm far more comfortable in where we go next, because it doesn't feel so tied down to the past.
Yeah.
It did what it needed to do to deal with the past and to acknowledge the past and to incorporate the past. And now, you know, they can fix up, you know, the home base, or the firehouse, or they can, you know, be called into somewhere else where they go on an adventure.
Yep.
You know, but for me, they needed to do what they did in this film before they could move forward.
Yeah.
Because they had to, in a way, they had to take the old characters and put them in a place that they were content to be.
Yep.
Or they're dead.
So, right.
You know,
yeah.
There's not a lot of options, you know, but we, you know, if you're going to retire a character, you want that character to retire on their own terms.
Yep.
So to speak. And I think that this film kind of allows that sort of feeling
yeah.
And I think that for me, that resolves a lot of You know, I loved Ghostbusters as a kid. I think a lot of us did.
Yeah.
It was just this fascinating, fun. Everybody wanted, and I, you know what? And I wouldn't doubt that if you trace ghost hunting, if there was a boom, because we know there's a ton of ghost hunting that happens now. But I think that film probably inspired a lot of people who grew up and wanted to be ghost hunters.
Yeah,
we couldn't be Ghostbusters, but we could be ghost hunters. So we'll go and do that.
Yeah, they could try to bring anyway. Something else to the are there ghosts or not argument. Right. So yeah, I you're probably right. I'll bet if someone could actually do the research, they could figure that out.
It's kind of like the Top Gun effect.
The Top Gun effect, yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird that those two movies would have the same effect.
Well,
very specific audiences.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
so, but yeah, so no, I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it quite as much as Afterlife. That's me. I've seen a lot of people have issues with it. I'm shocked by that. But you know, I tried to enjoy myself. It's still trying to be an enjoyable movie, and it was.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
So,
I like it more than you. So I better agree.
Yeah. Right. It's a, yeah, there's one of the ones where, yeah, so Problemista, I liked more than you. Ghostbusters, you liked more than me, but neither, we didn't hate either movie by any stretch. So that's the two big releases this week.